You would turn now to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, reading verses 32 through 39 on page 1007 in your Pew Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. This is the word of the Lord. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. This is the word of God. The letter of Hebrews is a call to worship. The letter of Hebrews is a call to faithfulness. The letter of Hebrews is a call to endurance. It is a call to gather together for worship, whatever the cost. It is a call to be faithful, whatever the cost. It is a call to endurance, even unto death. This call to worship and faithfulness and endurance, it is very apparent in Hebrews chapter 10, in verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. The letter of Hebrews is a call to endurance. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. It is a call to faithfulness. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. It is a call to worship, not neglecting to meet together. But this call in Hebrews, it is also accompanied by a warning. This call in Hebrews is accompanied by a warning which first appears when the author quotes from Psalm 95. Psalm 95, which is itself a call to worship. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us come into his presence. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. This call to worship in Psalm 95 is accompanied by a warning. A warning which is quoted in Hebrews chapter 3. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. A rebellion on account of which the Lord swore in his wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Under the old covenant, that first generation in the wilderness, the generation brought out of Egypt and into the wilderness, that first generation fell in the wilderness. They failed to enter into the land of Canaan. They failed to enter into God's rest. And they failed on account of their disobedience. They failed on account of their unbelief. Psalm 95 accordingly calls God's people to worship and also warns them of the consequence of neglecting that call, of neglecting the word of the Lord. Now we no longer live under the old covenant. We live under a better covenant. We live under the new covenant. A covenant enacted on better promises. A covenant whose guarantor, whose mediator is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. That old covenant, it was but a shadow of the good things that have come. The new covenant possesses the true form of these realities. Under the old covenant, the priests and the worship of the people, they served a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not the holy places upon earth, but the holy places of heaven, and not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, and thus he has secured an eternal redemption. The new covenant is better than the old covenant. It is as superior to the old covenant as the blood of Christ is superior to the blood of bulls and goats. It is a great privilege to live under the new covenant. It is a great privilege to live after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a great privilege to be God's people upon whom the end of the ages has come. And so we might think that Psalm 95, with its call and its warning spoken under the old covenant, no longer applies. But the letter of Hebrews gives that same call and gives that same warning, a warning not to neglect your privilege. A warning not to despise your privilege. A warning which is not less severe than the warning under the old covenant. A warning that is more severe. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? Under the new covenant, no less than under the old, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so the call in Hebrews to worship, the call in Hebrews to faithfulness, the call in Hebrews to endurance, a call that is given to the church. It is a call for the church to worship, to gather together for worship unto the end. It is a call of faithfulness, to faithfulness, unto the end. It is a call to endurance unto the end. as you see the day drawing near, a call unto the end in the hope of entering God's rest. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 34, verses which we considered last Lord's Day, we have an example of what such faithful endurance looks like. The people of God, suffering public reproach and affliction on account of the name of Christ. Suffering public reproach and affliction because they are publicly identified with the name of Christ. Here is an example of such faithful endurance. A faithful endurance, whatever the cost. Endurance unto the end. Endurance in the hope of entering God's rest. Endurance with joy. Suffering with joy. Affliction with joy. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Why? Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. You are to worship in hope. You are to be faithful in hope. You are to endure in hope. If you attempt to do these things without hope, you will then do them without joy. For your hope, it is your joy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. He endured in hope, in the hope of joy. If you lack joy in affliction, if you lack joy in suffering, it is because you lack hope. In those moments when you are without joy, in those moments when you are tempted to complain, when you are tempted to grumble, in those moments when you are without joy, it is because in that moment you do not believe that you yourselves have a better possession and an abiding one. And so you are tempted. You are tempted to set down your cross. You are tempted to embrace the world and to gain from it whatever you can in the short time you have in it. To a church struggling to remain faithful. To a church struggling to have joy in affliction. To a church who has forgotten her hope. To such a church, the Lord says, do not throw away your confidence. It has a great reward. Do not throw away your hope. Do not throw away your joy. for your reward is great. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Why do you have need of endurance? Because God has purposed that you endure. Because God has purposed that His church suffer. Because God has purposed that His church be afflicted. That she become like Christ, who Himself suffered in the hope of glory. Christ Himself had need of endurance. Are you greater than your Master? Are you greater than your Lord? You have need of endurance. Why do you have need of endurance? Because your hope is not in this age. Because your hope is not in this world. Because your hope is not yet seen. A race is set before you. The way of the Lord is set before you, and you are upon that way, hoping for what is unseen, hoping for the end of this age, hoping for the world to come. And so as long as you live in this world, as long as this age continues, you have need of endurance, because your endurance is unto the end. Unto the end of the age, unto the end of the world, unto the day of the Lord. That day that is drawing near, when you will at last enter God's rest. As long as you are in this world, you have need of endurance. Because as long as you are in this world, you are called to faithfulness. You are called to do the will of God. A call that is costly. It is a call not only to be faithful in gathering together for worship, though in Hebrews that is its primary expression, but it is not limited to that. It is a call to be faithful to Christ in all things. It is a call to be faithful to the Word of God in all things. A call to be faithful in your life. In your family. In your employment. And whatever you do, a call to seek the glory of God in all that you do. This call to faithfulness. It is a call to faithfulness in all things, no matter the cost. Whether it costs you your possessions, whether it costs you your life. This call is costly. but it is a call in the hope of something greater. A call in the hope of something better. You have need of endurance until that comes. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Does his promise then depend upon you? Does it depend upon your doing the will of God so that you may receive what is promised? Does anything in your salvation depend upon you? The letter of Hebrews is not a call to depend upon yourselves. It is not a call to depend upon your faithfulness. It is a call to be faithful to God in dependence upon Him. Not to throw away your faith. Not to throw away your hope. It is God's purpose that you endure. It is God's purpose that you endure so that when you have done His will, you may receive what He has promised. We speak of the preservation of the saints. We have even confessed it this morning. God preserves those whom He has called. God preserves those who belong to Him. But we must also speak of the perseverance of the saints. Those who belong to Him persevere. If you are united to Christ, you will persevere. You cannot receive Christ and not persevere. If you are united to Christ, you receive all His blessings, including perseverance. You receive His perseverance, so that just as Christ persevered unto the end, so that just as He did the will of God and has received all that is promised, so also you in Christ, being conformed to His image, may also persevere unto the end and receive what is promised in Him. For He is the coming One. He is the coming One who will not delay. And it is yet a little while until He comes. But until He comes, the righteous shall live by faith. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul also quotes from Habakkuk 2, saying, "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith." But in Hebrews, the sense is a little different. The focus is a little different. It is not only in the sense that the life of the world to come is received by faith, but also in the sense that your life in this world is to be lived in faith. The righteous one lives by faith. The righteous one endures by faith. Your salvation is by grace, through faith. But the salvation by grace through faith, it includes good works. By grace you have been saved, Ephesians 2, through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what? For good works. For faithfulness. For endurance. You have been saved by grace, through faith, for good works. The preaching of obedience. The preaching of faithfulness. The preaching of endurance. It is not contrary to the gospel. It is part of the gospel. It is the purpose of the gospel. The life of the world to come, it is received by faith alone. But your life in this world as well, it is to be lived by faith. The one who shrinks back. The one who turns away. The one who fails to endure. Such a one does not belong to God. And in that one, God is not well pleased. These things are not written that you may doubt. These things are not written that you may trust in yourselves. These things are not written so that you may lack confidence. They are written so that you may have confidence. You must know that your hope is for nothing less than the day of the Lord and the world to come. God has not promised you an inheritance in this world or this age. God has not promised you a long life in this world or age. God has not promised you abundance in this world or this age. Your inheritance, your glory, it is in the world and age to come alone. That is what God has promised. A possession that is far better. A possession that abides. A possession, a world without end. For this you hope, and for this you endure. Whatever the cost, to the end. And when it is difficult, when you are tempted, when the world would require you to bow the knee before it, You must remember that it is God's purpose that you endure. That it is God's purpose that you do His will. And that He has given you His Spirit that you may endure. That you have His Spirit that you may do His will. People of God, do you lack confidence? Do you lack assurance? Hear the word of the Lord to you. You are not of those who shrink back. You are not of those who are destroyed. You are of those who have faith and preserve their souls. This is yours in Christ. So that when He comes, after you have endured a little while, after you have suffered a little while, you may hear from Him, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." May God equip you with everything good that you may do His will. May He work in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray.